Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Guess who? Oh, it's me. Your nighttime host on The Fan, Keith McPherson, filling in for BT and Sal. My last hour doing so. Big shout out to everybody who's called, everybody who's on Twitch watching, people sending me tweets. I appreciate you guys. Let's run through the tape. Have a good hour talking about everything from Francisco Lindor in the MVP conversation. Hell yeah, Bobby Witt Jr.'s and Judge's MVP conversation. We got to put someone next to Ohtani. Everything from Old Timers Day, who didn't show up, why they didn't show up, what was, what wasn't. I mean, like I just was saying, them not playing the game, I feel like COVID gave them that out. You know, once they didn't have to do it for the COVID season, it's like, we don't have to do it. But guys want to play. You know, guys want to play that didn't play baseball. There's softball leagues all around the city. There's guys that want to play sports all around the city that were never good at any sports. Do you think those guys don't want to play a little bit? I always think back to Mariano Rivera, how competitive he was in the Old Timers Day game. I got to play with him in Bernie Williams' softball game. He was the same. I always tell the story about I go to do an interview with Chris DiStefano in like the second or third inning of the game. And for some reason, they just start hitting all the fly balls to left field. And there's a young lady out there, and the ball's going over her head. And Mariano pulls me to the side after that inning. He says, "Hey, where were you?" I'm like, "Bernie told me to go do an interview real quick." He's like, no, we need you in left field." "No, what are you doing, man? I'm trying to win the game." I'm like, "Is it that serious?" "It is that serious. It always is." Now, you know, I know that going into these softball games. I haven't played one since the Tiki and Tierney, Carton and Roberts game, where I'm in left field and a ball gets hit to shallow center field and I see Tiki Barber lay out Superman style, completely horizontal to make the catch. I'm like, why do I end up in these situations with these guys in center field that are former athletes, all-timers, Hall of Famers that really want to show everybody they still have it? I don't have it. I never had it. Not like that. I don't have it. 888-808-1019. Still having the conversation about the MVP, still having the conversation about who belongs in the MVP, and having the conversation about Old Timers Day. Stan in West Orange, New Jersey on The Fan. You got it, Stan.
Hey, Keith, how are you? It's good to hear you during the week.
Thanks. I mean, I'm on during the week. I'm just on when everyone goes to bed.
Yeah, I know you're on at night, and I know you're on the weekends. I usually catch you more on the weekends. But, hey, listen, there was a gentleman that called earlier that made this same kind of comment, but now that you're looking at Ohtani doing 50-50 with stolen bases and home runs, and the idea that those are all offensive numbers, maybe they should look at the idea of having an offensive and even maybe a defensive player of the year to go along with the MVP. And the reason why I'm saying that is because they do give gold gloves, and obviously each position defensively is unique. But I could see a reason why you might want to turn around and say, hey, look, overall, who was the best defensive player on the field all year?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and like I said, the MVP is you know, would be in kind of a judgmental thing versus just offensive numbers or defensive numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at it like, you know, the one stat that I cherry-picked, and thanks for the call, Stan, was F WAR. And, you know, when you're looking at wins above replacement, they do factor in defense. They do factor in the other side of the ball. It's not the NFL. Like, Lamar Jackson can win the MVP. He's not going to play a down of defense. And there'll be debate about whether he should have been the MVP or not. When we're looking at a baseball player, it's a bonus. That's why last night you didn't see Aaron Judge hit a homer. But when you see Aaron Judge make that first play, which is more in dead center, jumping up to catch the ball, not robbing a home run, but getting there to make the play. Then you see him track down that other ball, jump up against the wall, a 6'7", 270-pound guy, go up and rob that home run that could have tied the game, make that catch, show the ball, throw it into the cutoff guy, and double the runner up at first. That gets added in the highlight reel. That gets added to the resume. That gets added to all the people saying, well, Aaron Judge doesn't play defense like Bobby Witt Jr. Sure he does. in a different way. He plays a different position. He patrols center field. He's not patrolling between second and third base. And I just think when we're talking about conversations, there is no conversation. Judge is winning the American League MVP. I said that as soon as Shohei Ohtani, traitor, joined the Dodgers and made the KD to the Warriors jump. I said, well, at least he's out of the way for Judge to win the MVP. There should be more conversation about Juan Soto in the running for MVP, but everybody loves to go to Bobby Witt because there's so much Yankee hate. People just don't want to add another trophy to the Yankees' case of trophies, and I understand that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jeff in Oceanside, continuing the conversation on the MVP award.
Hey, Keith. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. That last call kind of stole my idea, but yeah, what I was thinking is they need to have like a Player of the Year award and an MVP award, because we've all seen in years past where a player has a fantastic year, wins the MVP, but his team didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So how valuable was it?
Well, we factor that in as well, Jeff, right? Like we always say, oh, you can't be MVP on a team that doesn't make the postseason. How valuable were you?
Right. I mean, we saw that with Ohtani when he played for the Angels, and it's happened to other players, right?
Ohtani should have his own award. Like, Ohtani should have the most outstanding player award because no other player can do what this one player can do.
Right.
Pitch and hit.
Right. No, like I said, and we've seen it in other years. So what I'm saying is this would be a Player of the Year who's had the best year, and then an MVP like Lindor. And I'll give him credit. I was not always the biggest Lindor fan, but he has been extremely valuable to Mets, more valuable to the Mets than Ohtani's been to the Dodgers based on their roster. So the Mets would be in a lot worse shape if Lindor got hurt and missed time than Ohtani. So valuable is one thing, Player of the Year is another thing.
Great. Like that right there is the conversation. That right there is the case. For someone to say you can't put Lindor in the MVP conversation, no, you can, because most valuable player, he's a more valuable player to his team than Shohei Ohtani is. 888-808-1019. He's not going to win the trophy. It is Ohtani's award for every year that he's in Major League Baseball performing like he performs. And even this year where I say leave out of the conversation that he pitches, it's, well, the 40 stolen bases, the 40 home runs. I don't care that he pitches. He's not pitching this year. He had surgery. He's unavailable to throw. He just threw off the mound last week. He's not coming back to pitch in October. So view him as just a DH. View him as a fast DH. You can't, because you know what he's done in years before. You know that he has multiple MVP trophies. He's going to win the MVP. But that doesn't exclude Francisco Lindor being sensational for the New York Mets, a team that most people thought wouldn't be a postseason team. But here we are going into September. They're still in the conversation. They're still in the hunt. And the catalyst, the main catalyst, because they have a lot of guys that have filled in the blanks. From Mark Vientos, who's going to have a 25-30 home run year that a lot of people said he couldn't hit. Guys that they picked up like Luis Severino, Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor, that people were like, what are these guys? It's not Pete Alonso carrying the team. J.D. Martinez has had more moments this year than Pete Alonso. Jeff McNeil was terrible, but obviously he turned it on and turned into Happy Meals Jeff. Grimace, the Grimace energy, the oh my God energy. Jose Iglesias having the best year of his life. Starling Marte has come back, but before him, you had guys in the outfield. Nimmo was an all-star for the first half. Jesse Winker is figuring it out. Finding it now. So, you know, it's not just Lindor, but he was the catalyst. He was the one that in the beginning of the season was steady. He was the one in the beginning of the season that was unwavering, that was smiling in the camera after the game saying, you know, I know what we have in this room. I'm Francisco Lindor. We're going to get it done. It just takes some time. And it took time for him to heat up. But once he heats up, I mean, he just made history as the first shortstop with three MLB seasons of 25 and 25. So if we're putting all of this respect on Ohtani for 40 and 40. I mean, Lindor does the same thing, not at the same pace. But how could he go out there and do it at the same pace when he goes out there and plays shortstop every single day? He doesn't miss a day. This guy doesn't miss a game. And he's one of the best defensive shortstops in the game. 888-808-1019. I owe him respect. I owe him respect on his name, because when he started off slow again this year, I'm like, yeah, he's overpaid. When he started off slow again this year, I'm like, yeah, well, Steve Cohen just had to make the trade for him and sign him on his way in to show, hey, I'm big money bags. this is what I'm going to do. But Lindor has just turned it on. He's been sensational, and I respect the guy because I'm watching these games. I'm listening to these games, and him being made the leadoff hitter changed this team. The team meeting where he led the way by example and obviously talking has changed things. I look at his energy. It's infectious. The way he's doing the spank, the slap, the way he's making plays, whether it's tagging out Jackson Merrill or ranging into the outfield to make a play or turning double plays, he's fired up about it. He cares. When the lights were bright this past weekend in San Diego, he's hitting grand slams. He's hitting home runs. He's setting the tone for guys to follow suit. 888-808-1019. Yankee calls now before we go to the next break. Joe in Staten Island on the Fan. Were you at Old Timers Day or are you just weighing in?
Just weighing in. And, you know, Chuck Knobloch, I think the reason why they're not going to market him is he's had a little bit of a checkered past with an underage girl.
Oh, I had no idea about that. First time I've heard about that.
Yeah. Number two, I don't think, I can't talk for every Yankee fan, but for me personally, I could care less about Mark Teixeira after his failed media attempt and he threw Girardi under the bus and Cano under the bus. I lost all respect for him.
There you go. That's another reason why he probably doesn't want to show face around those guys. There's a little chatter of, you know, past transgressions.
Yeah, and number three, in terms of, I read somewhere that Brett Gardner felt slighted by the Yankees, that they didn't give him a farewell tour or something. Well, I got 82 million reasons why a 250 hitter should not feel slighted by the Yankees and should do whatever they ask him to do, because that man made $82 million with the Yankees, and he was the sole reason why we had to sign Jacoby Ellsbury, because he couldn't steal bases and do what he was supposed to do.
Reason? Thanks for the call, Joe. Brett Gardner is the sole reason why the New York Yankees went out and signed former Boston Red Sox Jacoby Ellsbury. Like, that's Gardy's fault? And it isn't so much that we haven't heard from Brett Gardner. He's not doing interviews. That's what I was saying earlier. It isn't that he feels slighted. He doesn't have to do anything. He's not employed by the New York Yankees. And he earned that $82 million. As a walk-on coming out of the College of Charleston, the guy no one expected. Man, I love Gardy, bro. I was in Wrigley Field in the left field bleachers when Gardy hit that home run to win that game in 2017. The first game of that series, Chris Bryant went deep. Kyle Schwarber went deep. I was in enemy territory, deep, surrounded by Cubs fans. That day alone, Brett Gardner had my back, so I'm going to have his back. I bet like five people around me, $20 each. I had $100 cash. I was like, we're coming back. We're winning this game. And the whole game, they heckled Gardy. You're bald. You're short. You can't steal bases. You can't throw. You're terrible. Nobody cares about you. You'll be out of the league. And Gardy just heard all that, channeled all that, went to that plate, hit that home run to right field. I think the Yankees won that game 3-2. We partied in Wrigley that day. That was an all-timer for me. And all the other Gardy parties and sliding into first. And I like the whole banging the bat, right? People were wearing Let Brett Bang shirts. So I understand some Yankee fans are like, oh, you know, he's a whiny bee, or oh, he was a baby. Yeah, but he was turning the team up. We talk about savages in the box. We talk about like Boone getting ejected. Boone started getting ejected more because he was trying to protect Gardy. I talked to Cameron Maven. Cameron Maven was in the dugout that game, I think against Toronto, barking some stuff. Gardy had the rep that, you know, he was always tightening up the umps. They thought it was him, threw him out of the game. So I got no issues with Brett Gardner deciding I'm going to be a dad first. I'm going to be there for my kids. Since I wasn't able to be there for my kids when I was a Yankee, Jeter didn't have any kids as a Yankee. I'm going to be there for my kids now that are in high school playing football on a Friday night. Brett Gardner turned 41 on Saturday, August 21st. He said, or 24th, I don't want to go to Yankee Stadium. I don't have to go to Yankee Stadium. Because the way that they sent him off, there was no send-off. There was a, yeah, we'll keep the light on for you, but we'll easily turn that light off. And you'll just fade into darkness. And that's where he is, 0-30 in South Carolina. And he decided he doesn't want to be in the public eye after his Yankee career. He was a clubhouse guy. He was a guy that led the way for your captain, Aaron Judge. But now we want to turn it on Brett Gardner and acting like he's supposed to show up because the Yankees summoned him. He's a grown-ass man. Like, he's doing what he wants to do at age 40. I have no problem with it. My problem is the Yankee fans thinking, like, he better report for duty. Why? Why? There's other guys that didn't show up, but all the focus has been on Brett Gardner. 888-808-1019. 101.9. John in Brooklyn on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's up, man? I want to say something about Old Timers Day, but just really quick on the MVP conversation for the AL. I don't want to even talk about Shohei Ohtani, but Kansas City Royals play in, like, they're practically the NFC South of baseball. Like, them being 30 games better than last year, that's great, but it's not all Bobby Witt. It's just because they're playing a lot of games against the White Sox and teams that aren't good. I love Bobby Witt. He's a great player. He's got, like, 320 total bases every year that he's played. It's amazing. Great player. I love it. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani probably be the MVPs of both leagues for the next few years. It's not even a conversation anymore. Also, participation awards, defensive player of the year. Like, stop it, guys. Stop it. You're just too excited for football, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, when it comes to Old Timers Day, I think people need to realize that, like, this is nothing but it's a publicity stunt, and it's an opportunity for us to just see our favorite players in person again. Whatever the Yankees put together, we don't get to see a game anymore. That's probably because the insurance company probably says they don't want to back it anymore. You know what I mean? With all these old guys out there. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? Like, with all the semantics of it. But, I mean, when it comes to Old Timers Day and people not showing up, they have lives. And it has nothing to do with anything. It's like, all I hear, I'm back to watching The Fan or listening to The Fan, like, every single day. It's the only radio station that I'm in. I'm back and forth between Brooklyn and Long Island constantly. And I only listen to The Fan. And all I hear is everybody, they want to complain about Volpe. Volpe is, like, one of the hardest. He is, like, the new constantly playing. He's going to try to work on his game. He's going to be one of the best Yankees. And then you're all going to be looking stupid when you complained about him when he
Not
was
me.
A kid. He's a kid.
Not me.
He's going to do his thing. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, he gets to play under Judge.
I've been supportive of the kid. I understand.
His entire career.
At 23, I was barely getting out of college. I can't imagine how hard it is to be the shortstop of the New York Yankees.
Especially with this media. The media and the fans and the way these fans jump on Twitter and Instagram and they go after these guys like crazy. They're in their inbox, like, making fun of their family. And say, dude, everybody, stop it. Relax, dude. We have an amazing team. We have an amazing, like, fanship. We have an amazing tradition. You know, people want to come and play for us. You fans, you're ruining the people that want to come play for us. Like, if Soto doesn't sign with the Yankees, it won't be about money. It'll be about, like, he doesn't want to have a down year and deal with.
Well, then I got to let you go on that point, John. It'll be about money. DeSoto was unaffected by the fans, and I was just talking yesterday about how the fans boo everybody. I can't recall a time they booed Juan Soto. They literally chanted, "We want Soto," before Trent Grisham hit a home run against the Dodgers. I'm like, what is going on? What are we doing here? The fans are going to ruin things, though. It's just always like that. I do remember in 2022, there was a narrative after the season about, like, oh, yeah, fans don't, or players don't want to come to New York because of the fans. Good, we don't want them. I wish that Brian Cashman had a formula to identify who was made for this and who was not. He'd have less mistakes in the trades and free agency if he could find some type of formula to figure out who can wear the pinstripes and carry them and who they're extremely heavy for.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Vinny in Lindenhurst on The Fan.
Aaron Judge hits a thousandth hit there, and they show the replay running around to first in slow motion, and he seems like he's hobbling. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, you know? Then at the end of the game, when the outfielders do their three-way, after the win, their three-way jump, you know, into each other. Before they do it, Aaron Judge gives a little hand signal, like, pump the brakes, let's not make this a big jump. And they make it a small jump, and he continues to run in. I wouldn't be surprised tonight if you see him maybe DH-ing, maybe not in the outfield, maybe he even sits. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Have you seen anything like that? You were watching the replay.
Yeah, I was watching the game. I didn't catch that. I think some people were questioning, and I think I listened to the morning show guys talk about whether he was hustling out of the box you know, whether he grimaced at all. And I didn't catch the end of the game, him saying, hey, you
might
know.
Might be breaking news, Keith. You might have heard it. You might have heard it here first on your program.
Vinny first to call it. Thanks for the call. Vinny is the first to say Aaron Judge might be hurt. And I'll be the first to say, no, he's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play center field. I'm not trying to see Trent Grisham out there. If they DH him, whatever, so be it. But there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. If you're injured, you can't go. You can't play. If you're hurt, suck it up. Go out there and play. Let's win the series tonight with Gerrit Cole on the mound versus Patrick Corbin. And then if we got to rest guys the next day before coming home, we worry about resting guys. My guy Frank hit me up. He said, I thought 9-9 was just telling him to wait because the final out might have been challenged. It was a bang-bang play at first. I don't know. I also got a tweet from somebody who was saying, hey, let's not do the jump, not for Judge, but for Verdugo. Verdugo is the one that we physically saw run into the wall and not be able to walk. I think we're just reading too much into it. I think we have PTSD from last year and years past of Aaron Judge being hurt. Man, I just have had the thought recently about him getting to 1,000 hits, 300 homers. Like, imagine if this guy got to the league sooner and was healthier. We really would have some stupid numbers to talk about. We really would be looking at Aaron Judge like this is the best player we've ever seen. Great. Grayson Brooklyn, I haven't heard from you in so long. I'm guessing you get good sleep at night.
No, man, I listen to you. I do.
You just don't call anymore.
No, I was just chilling in a little way, you know. But everything is good. How is the baby? I know he's not a baby anymore. He's a young man.
Yeah, he's a young tyke. He's a young brute. He's a Tasmanian devil. He's not a cute baby. You can't even hold him. He doesn't allow anybody to hold him. He scratches and he kicks and he screams and he eats everything and poops.
Give God thanks and praise, man. I'm happy
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm calling because I want my flowers. Because I did predict that Aaron Judge going to be the Michael Jackson of baseball.
You said that he was the king of pop. He is the king of New York and the king of baseball and the AL home run king. When you first said that to me, I don't know, I thought about Michael Jackson, how big he is and the mania that he used to get. Judge was getting that type of reception at the Little League World Series. Those kids were acting like they saw Michael Jackson in the 90s.
And look at us. Every day you hear his name called. He's even going to get bigger. And I want to tell you, this is my next thing I wanted to say. I want Mr. Hal, wherever he's at, I want him to get this message to lock Soto down. Forget about the money. He will make it back in the years to come.
Right.
Okay? This is the team that he wanted forever. Aaron Judge is the head. Soto is the tail. They belong together. You understand? And money don't count. The money don't count. He will get back every penny. And also, you remember when you said to me, I must let you know when we're going to win the championship?
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Grace out in Brooklyn, thanks for the call and more proclamations. Haven't heard from you at 11 p.m., 12 a.m. at night, but you were able to catch KM in the a.m. now in the p.m., filling in for BT and Sal. Yeah, crazy. I remember maybe over a year ago her saying that Aaron Judge was the Michael Jackson of baseball. He is. He's the biggest star. And you think about the star that Michael Jackson was, pop star-wise, the mobs of people that used to show up outside of, you know, his hotel rooms. And, you know, I also give credit to Judge for doing this in the era of social media where everybody does, you know, pay attention and follow and watch and they know his name. I mean, Michael Jackson wouldn't have been able to survive with social media. And regardless of whatever you think of Michael Jackson with some of the other shenanigans and the escaping Michael Jackson or whatever, I'm talking about the stardom and I'm talking about the talent that created the stardom. And she talked about Judge getting bigger. How does Judge get bigger than what he is? He's going to win another MVP and he's going to do what he does in the World Series. And we have fans calling up to say that the Yankees wouldn't have won the last series without Alex Rodriguez. Well, this next World Series, Aaron Judge has to propel the Yankees. They keep pitching to him. It seems like there was like a week of the copycat league where they weren't pitching to him. The Angels, the Blue Jays, the Mets got it right. The Mets got it right not to pitch to him until they froze him out and had Jake Diekman strike him out. But if they pitch to this man in October, he's got to continue to be Judge. hit for power, hit for average, work his walks, and give Yankee fans this next World Series, which has been 15 years in the making, that if you've listened to me, I'm like, this is going to be a different kind of World Series. You can go back and watch the 2009 World Series DVD in 4K, but this one, everyone's going to have their own moments in 4K on their phones. Whether you're in the stadium or you're watching at home, you're going to be recording these big moments. People are going to be live streaming these games from their living rooms, from their basements, watching in real time. And Aaron Judge and Juan Soto have the opportunity to be immortal, to be immortalized, to go legend and win this World Series. And the last thing she said about Hal Steinbrenner, I think they all know. I think Hal Steinbrenner knows Soto threw it on Cashman. The fans are chanting, re-sign Soto, please stay Soto. And when asked about it after the game, he's saying, no, talk to Brian Cashman. I think Brian Cashman might be the only one with a thought to potentially hold it up, or with a thought to potentially say there's a number that we can't go to. Because as you remember with Bernie Williams, or as you remember the contract negotiations with Derek Jeter, or as you more recently remember the contract that was offered to Aaron Judge opening day 2022 when Tiki and Tierney were at the Hard Rock, and I'm driving to the stadium and it's about an hour before first pitch and I hear Aaron Judge being interviewed by Marley Rivera. I hope Marley's good wherever she is. I remember being upset, like, why is Judge being interviewed an hour before the game? He's got warm-ups to do. He's got a routine. His process is unmatched. Oh, they gave him an offer. It didn't get done. He turned it down. Here we go. Well, don't make that mistake again with Juan Soto. He's not a homegrown Yankee like Bernie, Jeter, Judge. Those are my three favorite Yankees. Don't make that mistake with Juan Soto and Scott Boras. They want top dollar. Make sure you're there to give them the top dollar, and you're going to make the money back. Boras said that he's a centurion. Whatever team signed him, they're going to make billions. And that is a way that you guarantee your future after Aaron Judge, because Juan Soto will still be here. 888-808-1019. I'm not trying to fast forward to December. We're not that far from October. It's all right in front of them again. It's all right in front of the Mets, too. We didn't get too much conversation in on the Mets, but I did go back. And, you know, the last time the Mets saw the Diamondbacks was right after being swept by the Dodgers. And that was MLB Turning Point. I don't know if you guys ever remember the show NFL Turning Point, but there's always a turning point in every game. There's a lot of turning points in the season. But obviously we speak of Jorge Lopez throwing his glove and the team meeting. Well, they went out and beat the Diamondbacks 3-2. Then they beat the Diamondbacks 10-9 to take that series in back-to-back games. And then the Mets started really getting going, started rolling. They're going to have to channel some of that energy again, going to face the Snakes out in the desert, a team that really found it in the last couple months. They don't lose. They have a six-game win streak. If they win tonight, it's seven. And if the Mets lose tonight and you're a Mets fan and you go to sleep tonight, they're already three back. Another loss, you're going to start to really feel like, man, this is going to be tough. But you have Sean Manaea on the mound, who's arguably been your ace over this last month of August. He is a guy that can go in and shut that Diamondbacks lineup down. And your lineup, who powered you through the end of May with that Diamondbacks series through June, is facing Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, he can be tough, but he also can get got. They got to get to him tonight. 888-808-1019. Last little bit that I have left here, if you'd like to add anything on the Mets. We'll get to my last couple calls and Twitch. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, we did it. 2 days filling in for BT and Sal. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Big shout out to Dove holding it down. Obviously Hoff behind the glass. I said they'll have a lot easier time with Mark Melusis, who knows about all the reads and actually can do the reads well and get to all the breaks on time and probably has some guests. I love the Moose. He's such a pro. But shout out to everyone at WFAN giving me the opportunity. I haven't done this show since the Dodgers series, so almost 3 months ago. It was the beginning of June when Juan Soto was out. I filled in with C-Mac. C-Mac is on vacation, I believe, still. He'll be back, and I'll be back to my nighttime spot tomorrow night. That's going to be an interesting turn, doing the midday and then doing the late night tomorrow after the game, but it's been great. Shout out to David, shout out to Ryan, shout out to Chris, you know, just for giving me the opportunity to come in during the midday. I've never, you know, thought about doing this solo, and even just 2 days, it's just a complete different swap from 10 a.m. To usually going on after 10 p.m. But I think I have a 5 hour coming up. 7 p.m. is cool too. Either way, you guys are the best that call the show. The Twitch chat was amazing the last two days, and everybody on Twitter as well. I just had a tweet that, or a Twitch message that cracked me up before we get to the last two calls. I was talking to Grace in Brooklyn about Judge and how Judge is the Michael Jackson of baseball and League Pass Larry. When I made the analogy or the parallel of, yeah, at the Little League World Series, they were acting like Judge was Michael Jackson out there, Williamsport. League Pass Larry says, I don't think Michael Jackson would have been welcome at the League Little League World Series, just a hunch. Without even seeing that, that's why I was like, yo, whatever you think about Michael Jackson and the other stuff with Never Neverland and escaping Never Neverland or whatever, like, that's different than talking about his stardom and his talent. You guys are funny. We have a great group of people that host shows here at WFAN and a greater audience of fans that call and listen and keep this station going. The other sports talk station, I think, is no longer on the FM dial. No, they were. I heard them yesterday, but it's obvious that here in New York City, WFAN reigns supreme. Coming up next, Morash and Evan Roberts. I think Loogie is back. I don't know. Maybe Tiki. Vincent Von Vincent, Paul Rosenberg out there. Let me take my last calls before I go get on the train. Bill is in Smithtown. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good afternoon. First time caller. How are you today?
I'm good.
Hey,
how are
one
you?
One thing. Good. One thing. I know it's the Yankee cheerleading station, but can we pump the brakes on the Yankees going to the World Series?
No, I mean, we do it every year. It's not the Yankee cheerleading station. The Yankee games get played on this station.
I got you. I got you. But let's just compare Mets and Yankees. Do you realize there isn't a Yankee infielder
that can
make the Mets?
We're going to say don't cheerlead the Yankees, but then let's compare the Mets and Yankees. Let's compare them, man. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. The Yankees don't have a five infielder that can make the Mets. The Yankee left fielder can't make the Mets. And I'll be honest with you, going into the playoffs, I'd rather take Peterson, Manaea, and Severino versus the Yankees' top three starters. And just to pump the brakes on Judge, he's a 211 hitter in the playoffs. You know, I get it. We got to be all pumped up. The Yankees did a great job in the beginning of the season, coming off to a great start, and now they're a 500 team since June 1st. I think there's got to be a little bit of reality that's brought into the discussion when it comes to the Yankees are expected to go to the World Series. And Judge versus Bobby Witt, come on. Who's Judge hitting against?
I'll let him go. I'll let him go for a while, Bill. I don't even have the time for that. Thanks for the call. As soon as you went to the Bobby Witt thing, the Royals who beat the Mets in their last World Series appearance, that we always hear about making the World Series. You never hear the Yankees talk about losing the World Series. You can't pump your brakes when you have the AL MVP. You can't pump your brakes when you have Juan Soto. It's interesting how you had to leave those guys out of your argument. We're not just talking about the infield. It's a team, right? The Yankees left fielder can't make the Mets. I mean, Verdugo is what Verdugo is. Brandon Nimmo is what Brandon Nimmo is. But I think when we're comparing teams, it's obvious. The Mets beat the Yankees. Let me make that clear. The Mets beat the Yankees in the regular season. The Mets might not make the postseason. And I don't want to make this about Mets versus Yankees, because as a Yankee fan, I think I'm the king at trolling the Mets fans and getting on the air and really giving it to you. And I didn't really come in here to do that these 2 days. We'll get back to that when the time comes. If the Mets fizzle out, we'll go back to all the different things. But nobody's cheerleading the Yankees. There's just a standard of excellence. The Mets are trying to establish a standard of excellence. The Yankees are expected to compete with the high payroll. The Mets are expected to just be whatever with the high payroll. It's just a different type of thing. No matter what you say about the infield, it's great that you have Mark Vientos over there at third base. Is he better than Jazz Chisholm? Jazz Chisholm just started playing third base. Lindor versus Volpe, we actually had that conversation early on this year. There's no conversation there. There's no conversation there. But Volpe is 23 years old. Let him develop into the player. If he develops into half the player that Lindor is, I'm fine with that. Lindor is incredible. I've come in here and I've given him his flowers. I mean, at second base, Jose Iglesias is a journeyman. Oh, my God. He's having the best year of his life. I'm happy for that man. He's doing it as a singer and as a player. Jeff McNeil, you know, between those two guys, you'd rather have Iglesias. First base, Pete Alonso, you don't want him. We don't want him either. Unfortunately, we have to run DJ LeMahieu out there and Ben Rice. Anthony Rizzo's on the mend. That brings me to, you know, some things to close this. I saw Anthony Rizzo will be with the Somerset Patriots at TD Bank Ballpark for American or Italian-American Heritage Night. Don Antonio Rizzo, awesome. Rizzo, hurry back, Rizzo. Join your buddy Aaron Judge. I also saw in my notes here that Kadarius Toney has been cut from the Kansas City Chiefs. At least he got two rings out of the deal. Former first-round pick of your New York Giants. Justin Ross of the Chiefs also cut. It's cut day. Guys are getting chopped, man. I also saw Zach Rosenblatt, my guy, said the Jets are 10th on the waiver wire. So there, you know, there's something, you know, in the claim order, there's something that also needs to be said about guys getting cut. They will land other places. So if you have a need, those needs will be filled. And the rich only get richer. You may think that this guy I'm about to mention is washed, but I just understand where we're potentially headed. I'm on record saying I do not want any parts of the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros just closed a deal with Jason Hayward, who was with the Dodgers, playing with primetime players, MVPs at a high level or a decent enough level, and I bet you he finds it with the Houston Astros. They added Hector Neris and Jason Hayward in the last week. The rich only get richer. The Houston Astros are a team that could stop the Yankees from getting to the World Series, but there's no cheerleading. It's just a culture. It's just a way of watching a team that has won 27 championships, that built their brand off of championships, and expecting them to get there with Gerrit Cole. You don't have a Gerrit Cole on your team at all. With Juan Soto and, oh yeah, you want Juan Soto. There's so much talk about Juan Soto going to Queens. It may never happen in Aaron Judge. That's all I've got. One more call to take. Lou is down in South Carolina on the fan. Tell us something, Lou.
Hi, Keith. How you doing? Good afternoon.
Thanks.
I saw Brett Gardner play college. I was working at those games, and he was like the new guy and the walk-on, and he took charge of that team, and it was a good team. He was the great center fielder and the fastest guy on the field every game, and he's stealing bases and, you know, get a couple of hits, you know, a lot of, you know, ground balls.
Any idea what's going on in Holly Hills, South Carolina with him right now? People in New York are making accusations that he's whining and crying. I haven't heard anything from the guy, not one quote.
I don't hear that at all. He's just laying low and just living his life.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. A guy that doesn't want to be in the spotlight. He won a World Series here. Thank you for the call, Lou. He's the champion. He's won a World Series here with the New York Yankees, and he was a part of the fabric of this group. He played with Gerrit Cole. He played with Giancarlo Stanton, and he played with Aaron Judge, who continues to keep his name alive. Continue to listen to the fan coming up right now. It's Evan and Tiki. Is Tiki here? I don't know if Tiki is here. Tiki's getting ready for the NFL season, as we all are. Twitch chat, I appreciate you guys. Good times. Everybody online, everybody that called, thank you for listening. My name's Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. I'll be back on tomorrow night and the next night, and I think I got a Saturday show this week. That's all. Keep it locked right here, 101.9 FM. I'm out.